Our agenda is here. On the agenda today is a review of the questionnaire that we're going to send out to the interviewees about the editor's draft of the verifiable claims working group charter. We are going to do a review of some of the feedback that we've gotten in private, or rather in W3C member space, and we're going to have to be very careful not to accidentally break W3C process and expose who provided that feedback. But we've had some concerning feedback that we believe we have some plans on how to address it, so we'd like to have everyone's opinion on the call today about how we are going to respond to feedback. And then, you know, the feedback is going to result in some changes to our strategy moving forward over the next 4 to 6 weeks. So it's, today's call is mainly a discussion around what people are saying about the charter and whether or not we should change our strategy in attempting to move the charter to the next stage of this work. Any other updates or changes to the agenda? Is there anything else that folks would like to discuss today?
I would like to briefly explain what the Bitcoin and blockchain community are thinking about in this space, and then that may inform some of the thoughts, because it's a different community than I think has been to date. So.
Yep. So actually, you know what, Christopher, why don't we do a brief introduction to you and some of your background, and then if you could launch into, you know, who you're representing at W3C these days, and then what you just said, tell us what the blockchain interest is in the work we're doing. So the topic is introduction to Christopher Allen and blockchain organizations. Actually, let's just do an intro to you first, and then so go ahead, Christopher.
Sure. Well, my name is Christopher Allen. I'm probably best known for leading the ITF effort to make SSL and then later TLS 1.0 a standard. So that was a 4 or 5 year process to get it all the way through. And of course, today it's the largest deployed security standard in the world. I've been involved with a lot of different things, smart contracts very early on, a lot of cryptographic stuff. I was CEO of Certicom, a Curve company for a few years, and mobile development, a little bit of all different kinds of interesting things. But most recently, in the last 2 years, I've been involved with a lot of the stuff that's going on in the blockchain and the Bitcoin area. So because of that, have been hired by Blockstream to basically lead their standards efforts and also some research into some specific initiatives. So one of the specific initiatives has to do with decentralized identity. And basically, for the past year, I've been working with XDI on, which is an OASIS standard, on how to, unpin its centralized roots to make it a decentralized protocol rather than a centralized one. And we produced a straw man last October, which is, moving forward. They submitted their ideas to the Small Business Research Grant on blockchain identity, and one that Manu, which I'm participating in, has also submitted a research proposal to SBIR, and they also won. So I'm basically helping both projects with that. Very specifically, there's a conference at the United Nations on May 20th called ID 2020. I'm one of the organizers of that. So that's an actual digital identity, sovereign identity, very self-sovereign oriented, very multinational around issues of human rights and things like refugees in regards to digital identity, et cetera. So that's, I'm very passionate about decentralized identity, and I don't know how to do decentralized identity without blockchain technologies. How we come to W3C is that we see that a number of things around the verified credentials and sort of what you call user-centric, what we call self-sovereign identity background is, you know, exactly what we need to have for the blockchain community. In particular, as an example, we have something called BIP70, B-I-P-70, which is a standard for that is roughly equivalent of the way web payments standard. Somebody in fact said that they looked at the two and they're like 80% similar. There's a new proposal called BIP75, which creates a private channel by which the parties can confidentially be able to share credential information, and this is in particular needed for cross-border work where, you know, if you have more than $10,000, you have to report money transmittal in the United States, and it's different numbers in different countries and stuff. So this is not an a know your customer thing. This is a, you know, I am spending, you know, I'm transferring more than $10,000 worth of value, and thus have to report that. We want to be able to do that with confidentiality. In no way do we want that to information to connect to the actual funds that were transferred, et cetera. So we are. You know, we're creating a private channel and sending the credentials information. At this point, one of the biggest stopgaps there is X.509, which has its own centrality that we're very uncomfortable with, and we would really like to see something like verified credentials can be used as an alternative to X.509 in a more decentralized way in BIP75 and private channels. We're also hoping that we can reconcile BIP70 with web payments, add confidential channels to web payments, and we'd love to see the verified credentials in a very, you know, in open credentials. I'm kind of confused on what the name is today, but we'd like to see something very much in that direction for a variety of other future initiatives.
Great. Thank you, Christopher. All right. So hopefully, you know, people kind of understand from that we're gaining interest from a number of other industries, which is great. So, you know, we've got some payment folks involved, we've got education involved. There are hopefully going to be some national governments that are going to be joining us soon. I can't talk a bit too much about that, but hopefully we'll see those folks joining in the next couple of weeks. So. All good stuff, and showing that the work that we're doing is quite interesting to a number of people that are feeling kind of the pain of, you know, identity and credentials on the web. Okay, so unless anyone else has anything else, we'll go ahead and jump into our main agenda at this point. Any other things that we should discuss before jumping into the main agenda? Okay, so we have a let me find the link. Let me give some background. We have a editor's draft of a charter review for a verifiable claims working group out. We have a set of use cases. We have a FAQ. We have a final report. So we have a lot of documentation out there that we're asking for feedback on. we are going to be circulating a questionnaire. Asking people to answer a number of questions. So here's a link to the Google form. So this is the questionnaire for feedback on verifiable claims editors draft charter. So if folks could click through to that. I'm hoping to send this request out at the end of today at some point. So if folks have not had a chance to review it yet, please do review it and respond with any feedback. Basically, the question that we're asking people is, does the charter look good to you? And if not, tell us what needs to be changed. And if the charter looks good to you, are you going to join the work officially at W3C? Are you going to actually join the working group and week to week spend time working on this stuff? That is the key question right now, right? So we're trying to discover two things. Is anyone at W3C going to object to the work starting? And the second one is, if you don't object, are you going to join the work? Are you ambivalent towards it, or are you actually going to join and put someone in the working group to work on it? So that's effectively what the questionnaire is trying to gather. We have, I think, around 55 or 60 organizations that we're going to circulate the charter to get feedback from them. So let me stop there. You know, if folks have had a chance to review the charter, or sorry, review the questionnaire, do you have any comments or concerns about it at this point?
Well, I answered it yesterday, and I felt like, as compared to some earlier ones, that the earlier charters and whatever, that there was a bit of watering down of the sort of user-centric, self-sovereign-ish type things that I care about. But I felt like I could live with it move forward.
Okay. I don't think that was the intent. We tried to keep the user-centric, self-sovereign stuff in there. Specifically, if you look at the problem statement.
No, I agree that it was in there. I just felt like, you know, it's becoming a smaller and smaller piece and such. But it's, I mean, again, I'm fine with it. But that's
okay.
The thing I, you know, that's the thing I can't compromise on.
Yeah, agreed. I'm trying to, yeah, I think no one wants to compromise on that. In the group. I mean, I think this group has been about the user-centric, self-sovereign thing from the beginning. It's what differentiates this work from SAML and OpenID Connect and things of that nature. So I would be very surprised if, you know, it was so watered down that we did not, you know, treat that as kind of one of our primary motives. But if other people feel like we've watered it down or that, you know, we've accidentally watered it down, we definitely want to change it. So that's very good feedback, Christopher. And then, Christopher, you're saying that Blockstream would probably end up putting in at least one FTE into the work?
Right. Yeah, probably multiple engineers, but it would be equivalent of one FTE.
Yeah. Okay, that's great.
I think one of the things to Christopher, this is Matt Stone, that we've sort of struggled with a little bit, I'd say, as this group over the last few months, is kind of the balance between focusing on identity and focusing on the claim itself. Because there's been so much other identity work, we didn't want this group to be another identity group.
Right.
We're really kind of looking at the claims aspect of it and knowing that identity is a component of that. So you might be reading into the positioning of the charter that we don't give it that much focus because of that.
Yeah, I don't know how, so, you know, there's the web DHT proposal. There's for a decentralized identifier that is part of what Manu, Drummond from Oasis, and myself and some cryptographers are working on this summer. And I don't know where the decentralized identifier work kind of fits into this architecture, but it's, you know, to me it's kind of, there is no identity in the identifier, but it's essential to allow the verified claims data to do some of the different things we want it to do. And I want to be able to add selective disclosure. So I've got a cryptographer that, you know, is already looking into like three or four different options as far as selective disclosure is concerned. That's not currently a requirement in the group. So, you know, we're definitely kind of, you know, taking it a notch up. We also, you know, besides that use case that I put in there, I mean, you know, we recognize that this isn't necessarily something that, you know, big banks and other stuff are going to jump in feet first. There's a lot of entrenched momentum on things, but one, we think we can get the heart and minds of the developer community early on with some things around signing of files, you know, kind of replacing what PGP is being used for today as opposed to mail, allowing things like delegation in that area, allowing for like code coverage, different kinds of reputation, cross, you know, individual cross reputation of code. You know, hey, I put 20 hours of security reviews into the build, you know, 2539, and, you know, we found one security flaw which we've reported and has been fixed. You know, those kinds of statements gets the hearts and minds of the developer community. And then because of the blockchain hype, to be honest, we have some non-U.S. countries that are interested in things like doing know your customer on the blockchain and stuff. And you know, yeah, they're small company countries, small banks, but it allows us to begin to, you know, to roll some of this stuff out in proof of concepts and such. So, you know, this is figuring out a strategy that works from small to the big feels like to me the you know, kind of the result of some of the pushback that we're getting from the big. So just don't route around them.
Right. So I guess we should kind of talk about that a bit. That's the next agenda item. But before we move on to that, if you're on this call, please fill out that questionnaire. Right. So, you know, the way that we get this work started is we get at least 25 organizations saying that they will commit to putting someone in the working group to work on the work, and hopefully more than that saying that they think it's valuable work to do, even if they don't have someone to send to participate in the work. So and again, if you have concerns with the questionnaire, please get them to me specifically by 3 p.m. today, because hopefully at the end of day today or very early tomorrow, we're going to send the questionnaire out to those 50 to 60 organizations and get hopefully get feedback from them. And as Shane is pointing out in IRC, also lobby your friends, especially if they work in other organizations that are either not W3C members or may not know about this stuff. Get them to fill out the questionnaire and hopefully participate in the work. Let's see. Christopher, I'm gonna do a minus one to putting an FTE number in the survey, primarily because I'm trying to keep the number of questions down as minimum as possible. So the only thing we need to know is whether or not they're going to send someone. And I think that's good enough to convince W3C management and the W3C body. I don't think we need to know exactly how many people they're going to put on the work.
I also need to, you know, just quickly point out, so I was at Hyperledger meeting last week. So Hyperledger is a Linux Foundation. I don't want to call it a standard because it's not got a great standards process. But, you know, they're talking about some of these types of things. Obviously, Oasis with SDI is talking about some of these things. And it's just been, you know, there's also a W3C blockchain community that is, you know, kind of skirting around some of these issues. So just want to make sure people are aware that there is a desire in some communities that, you know, may not be aware of verified credentials precisely, but you know, are you know, potential recruiter, people to recruit.
Absolutely. One way to do that is to maybe point them at this questionnaire, because it points them to the charter and all those things. So if you know of an organization that's not participating regularly in this group, please ping them and have them weigh in, because the charter and the use cases kind of outline what we're trying to accomplish, and hopefully that would be a good introduction to them. That, or we'll find out that the charter is badly written and they have no idea what we're doing, and that is also good feedback. Okay, if there's nothing else on the questionnaire, we're going to jump into charter review feedback. Okay, so we're getting some feedback. A number of us went to the W3C Advisory Committee meeting at MIT in Boston 2 weeks ago. We talked with a number of large organizations there and people that were concerned about the charter, and alleviated many of those organizations' concerns with the charter. We got some good input from folks on the W3C Technical Advisory Group, which is the big architecture group at W3C. So all that stuff was going fairly well. We have since received feedback through the W3C Advisory Committee Forum. So the Advisory Committee are 400 individuals that are representatives for their organization, and typically charter reviews happen on the Advisory Committee Forum. Or that's one place that they can happen. We have gotten responses back from two very large organizations, as in, you know, top 10 market cap in the world organizations. Both of them, I hesitate to say negative, because it's the feedback's a bit mixed, but it's not. It didn't look good. So to be clear, these are two organizations out of 400 that have provided responses back. And the responses break down into a couple of themes. So let me try and go through the themes. The first theme has to do with the organization feeling that this work is already being done elsewhere. Specifically, this work is being done at ISO, the International Standards Organization. The problem with the ISO stuff is that we can't see it because we have to pay something like $80,000 a year for membership in ISO, $80,000 or $180,000, I forget what. But through the Web Payments Interest Group, we have a liaison relationship with ISO, and we're going to look at what those ISO groups are working on. To be clear, like, the web is not really powered by ISO specifications. There are a number that we kind of use here and there, but we'll just have to see what those groups are up to. They did not point at SAML or OpenID Connect, which was surprising, but they were basically saying that, you know, the data format work is already happening in ISO, and therefore W3C shouldn't do any of this work. So that's kind of the first theme. The work is happening elsewhere. W3C shouldn't do the work because it's happening elsewhere. The second theme was that there were skeptical that the W3C may not staff the work, meaning that W3C staff is spread very thin these days. We are one of the first groups to suggest that we should hire a W3C fellow and self-fund the work at W3C. And one of the large organizations pushed back and said, well, I'm not hearing from organizations that actually have skin in the game. So that is an issue, because the call for review, the call for informal review, nobody in this group responded to, the people that are W3C members. right? And because no one in this group responded to that call for review saying that we would like to see it, there was basically silence. And that silence was viewed as indifference from people in this group. So if you are in this group and you are a W3C member and you did not respond to that AC forum post on informal review for the verifiable claims work, please make sure your AC rep responds to it, because right now it is looking like crickets, and that is reflecting very badly on the work that we're doing here, right? Shane is putting a blog post about this.
Yeah, since I'm officially joined, I think today is the official date that everything's activated and turned on. If you can point me to where to respond or who to respond to. I don't even know who my AC rep is quite yet.
Okay. Let me find.
You can do it offline, but it's.
Here's the link to the email. Whoops, crap. Here is the link to the email. Request for AC informal AC review of charter. So Christopher, I mean, basically what you said in the credential CG and the web payments IG, like that was great, but the AC forum folks didn't see that at all, nor will they. AC forum folks tend to be fantastically busy because they're involved in, you know, every working group that their company's involved in. And for some of the larger organizations, that can be like 15 to 20 working groups. Anyway, what you said was great. It just needs to get in front of some of these larger organizations. Okay, so the second theme was basically they're not hearing any support. We've seen nothing but negative responses back, because I think maybe people in this group think that it should be obvious that since they've been participating in this group for a year that that they're in support of the work. The issue, of course, being that none of the other AC members know that you have been participating in the work. So if you're a W3C member, please speak up now, because it's looking very one-sided at this point and not in our favor. Okay, so that was kind of the second theme. The third theme was a bit frustrating because we have been asked multiple times not to presuppose a solution. So we have been asked when drafting the charter, and this was by W3C, staff and a couple of member organizations, to not push an agenda, right? So one could argue that the credentials community group has been pushing an agenda. We have an agenda, meaning that we believe that a user-centric, self-sovereign system is the right way to design one of these things. And the feedback that we got early on was that some of the other W3C members don't believe that that's true. Some of the other W3C members believe that, you know, Facebook or Google Plus or Twitter, that's the correct way to do identity on the web. Basically, you know, we have tried to write the charter in a way that doesn't presuppose a particular solution. It tries to outline a problem statement and say, this is how we think we can solve it. We're not saying that the solution will be OpenID Connect or SAML. We're saying we're going to create some base technology that can be used in these other mechanisms like OpenID and SAML. And if they don't work in OpenID and SAML, then we may create a new protocol for attribute exchange on the web. Okay, so that is the approach we have taken to date. One of the larger members' feedback was, you are not telling us what W3C would actually do. So they're saying the opposite. They're saying you need to take a position and tell us what the one true way forward is. Because without that, we're not going to sign a blank check for this group to spin up without understanding exactly what they're going to try and ratify. So they have suggested that we go back and incubate for 6 months to a year and come out with a technical proposal. And then come back to the group. Okay, so those are the three main themes that we're hearing via feedback right now. Again, to underscore this, these are two member companies out of 400, so we still have to hear from a large number of other organizations. But let me stop there. Shane, you're on the queue. And then for everyone else in the group, if you have any questions or comments, please queue yourself up to make them. You can do Q plus in IRC to queue yourself up. Go ahead, Shane.
And Shane is battling with yet another headset today, so let's see how this one works. Hi. I don't want anyone here to take the feedback monitors relaying the wrong way. I mean, I think it's important to recognize that one person made a comment, and that comment is very different than the comments we've been hearing. This is the last thing Mona just talked about, I'm sorry, about going off and debating. We certainly have not gotten that feedback to date. The good news is I feel like we have an answer to that feedback. Okay? Just, we have been incubating for years. I mean, you know, thank you for suggesting that we do that. We did. And it's fine for us to say that. And we can also say when we say it, and we didn't bring that forward because X, Y, Z, right? And we don't need to blame anybody or cast aspersions or whatever. We just say, you know, we want to look across, you know, at everything. We definitely have an idea, and, you know, we'd be happy to roll ahead with it if that's what the membership wants, right? I think it's okay to say that for the W3C and not worry about the one member. Now, if 50 members say it, okay. Anyway, that's my opinion.
Yep. Yep, very good point, Shane. Does anyone have any questions about the feedback or how to engage? We are going to talk about how we change, you know, if we should change strategy, and if so, how, in the next agenda item. But are there any questions on the feedback that we've received? Go ahead, Matt.
This is more a question of kind of maybe tactics. If you want, so I just read the email again asking for an informal review of the charter that you sent out. And, you know, for those of us who are members of W3C, like Pearson, you know, I looked at this and said, well, you know, we're one of the authors and we're sort of giving continuous feedback to this group. So in what form, how do you really want feedback that has the most bang for the buck?
You could respond to one of those two people and say, actually, we've been so here's one big bang for the buck response that you could have. They're claiming that there are no large organizations, or there are very few large organizations that have skin in the game. I think Pearson is a great example of a large organization that has skin in the game. So your response could be, actually, you know, we're a large organization that has skin in the game. We're, you know, well-versed in all this, you know, many of the activities that are going on here, and we have chosen to participate in this work for X, Y, and Z. So having that response in the AC forum, I think, would go a long way in countering this notion that there are organizations that don't have skin in the game around this charter. Did that help, Matt?
Yeah, and just from a question of mechanics, do we just really reply to this email with that message?
Yep,
okay.
That's all you really need. And I don't know if you're the advisory committee representative for this, and if you're
not,
I don't. Okay, and you, yeah, you'll have to seek that person out because I think only they can post to this mailing list.
Got it. All right, I'll have to go figure that out, but I'll try to get the through the corporate process to get that message out.
Okay, great.
I'm kind of dealing with I just tried replying and they still haven't given me permission, even though I'm the lead for Blockstream. So I'll figure it out. I did have a question regarding you know, just for sort of responding to, is it worthwhile responding to the individual feedback? So as an example, you know, I don't know specifically what's going on with the ISO standard, which one it is, even what number it is and whatever, but my guess is it's probably associated with the you know, the old idea of doing attributes with X.509 certificates. That's my guess. I don't know. But again, it has a centrality to it that all the ISO standards have, and you know, we're fundamentally saying that's a problem. So, you know, having a look, should we respond to the individual things, or why, you know, some of the existing work just does you know, that was listed doesn't fit?
Yeah. So let me get you the names of those ISO committees. I'm putting them in IRC right now. I just put in link. So it's JTC1SC27. And there's links to the Wikipedia article and the technical committee. And the three things or four things is the requirements for partially anonymous, partially unlinkable authentication, identity proofing, and a study period on privacy protecting, preserving attribute-based entity authentication. None of these sound like what we're really doing. I mean, there are aspects of it that overlap, but a lot of these seem like studies, not actual technical proposals. So we'll have to see. Basically, they have said that they check with their security expert, and their security expert basically told them not to participate in the work because they're already working on it. Carla also raised a very good question. She asked, are either of these two organizations that provided feedback part of the ISO work? I think the answer to that is yes. And is there a possible conflict of interest? Yes, absolutely. So the organizations that are taking a position against what we're doing, you know, at least one of them is heavily involved in trying to provide identity solutions to governments and things like that. So, you know, the counter argument that they have used is that there is plenty of standardization activities happening in this space, and that we don't need another one, effectively.
Yeah. I apologize for you know, dominating the discussion on my first day, but I did want to add one other data point, which is so at the Hyperledger meeting, Linux Foundation, IBM, and one of their partners submitted their first proposal, and they've been pushing it. They've actually been kind of, in most people's opinion, steamrolling the process as little as the process is. And further investigation has basically showing that IBM's real business model may be around something they call membership services, which is you know, a centralized CA-like thing for doing blockchains and other kinds of stuff that blockchains can do, and that's you know, something they're fundamentally not telling people about in their strategy with the group. So, you know, I can't help but wonder, in you know, similar types of things here, is are there, you know, providers like IBM or whatever that you know, have an entrenched you know, business model around a centralized CA service for these types of things, and anyhow, you know, I know you can't reveal who the people were, but you know, are any of them potentially in the CA services model as well? That's another level of conflict.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think one of them is both of them are definitely in the identity, you know, in the identity ecosystem and selling identity solutions that are centralized. They're both in that space. But I think we should also be careful to not assume that is the way they're responding and the way they are. I think one of the readings of one of their emails was that they thought what we were trying to do was identity, and because of that, they pushed back strongly against it. So, you know, we have said time and time again that we are focused on verifiable claims, that we're not trying to solve identity on the web or the internet, and so we have a very narrow focus, but I think that message is being lost, unfortunately, when people kind of read the charter. It's hard for them to get that out of the charter. So maybe that's something we have to change in the charter. Okay, so we have 15 minutes left. We should move on to talking about, you know, how this feedback changes the way we work over the next 4 to 6 weeks. So unless there are objections, I'd like to try and move us to that discussion. Does anyone else have questions on the feedback, or are there any details that are missing that people feel we didn't cover?
I mean, was there any objections in regards to, you know, how this fits in with the web payments work, or, you know, if there's a, you know, as somebody said on the list, you know, there's a strong connection here.
Right, right. So there are two things that I failed to raise. So the first one is what Dave Longley said in IRC. One of the large organizations wanted to know what the browser vendors needed to do to support this work. So there was an assumption here that because we were talking about identity, that the browser vendors would have to be involved from day one. And I think we've been very careful to craft the charter so that that was not the case, because the browser vendors have a tremendous amount of sway at W3C, and they can, like they have done in the web payments work, significantly move the needle, sometimes away from what the larger community wants to do, to kind of meet their goals and not necessarily the general community's goals. So we have been very careful to try not involve the browser vendors in the first version of these specifications, and that one of those large companies said, so what part do the browser vendors play in this ecosystem? So that was one of the things I missed. And then the second one, Christopher, to answer your question, the Web Payments Interest Group did talk about this yesterday. In fact, we spent almost the entire call talking about this. And the Web Payments Interest Group largely is in support of starting this work, or at least the comments we heard yesterday were not, we shouldn't start this work, we should give up, we should, you know, do that kind of stuff. The comments yesterday were primarily, this is fundamental to faster payments and next generation payments on the web. We have to solve this problem if we're going to address some of these web payments use cases. So how exactly is the Web Payments Interest Group going to respond? Are we, as the Web Payments Interest Group, are we going to respond in a way that is supportive of this work starting? So the IG is trying to figure that stuff out right now.
I mean, I may be able to get some more web payments W3C members interest in kind of confidential channels stuff. So just putting it out.
By confidential channels, you mean just in the background they support the work? Like they're not public?
No. I'm sorry. No. So confidential channels is what BIP 75 does.
Oh, okay.
It basically allows the two parties in a web payments transaction to be able to communicate with each other confidentially in order to exchange credentials information in a way that third parties can't see it, but allows them to authenticate each other and send each other credentials or other, you know, stuff. And so there's a half a dozen banks, you know, three, you know, $100 million startups funded that are all kind of playing, you know, talking around in this space. So, again, from the blockchain and cryptocurrency field more than from the traditional field. But, you know, that's something they very much care about. They want you to be able to have a transaction with someone and not necessarily have to reveal to third parties who you are. And it's a pretty easy extension to BIP 70, so my thought would be that it might be a pretty easy extension to the web payments, not being up on that yet. So.
Yeah. So the web payments work is not specifically not chartered to work on that stuff. It's out of scope for the first phase. So we won't be able to change that. So the charter's already been ratified and approved by the membership. They will not add that at this point. But what you could do is talk to the Web Payments Interest Group and say, look, you know, for future facing work, we care very deeply about this. It's required, you know, as far as some of the members see it, it's required. So delaying start on the work is not an option, especially if the work's not being done elsewhere. So I think what we've been asserting over the years, over, you know, the last several years, is this work is not happening anywhere else. If work is happening somewhere else around identity or credentials, it is not user-centric or self-sovereign. It's very much a centralized approach. And therefore, the work that we're proposing happens at W3C, you know, is actually not being done somewhere else and is actually central to some of the more future-facing education and payments and healthcare initiatives. Okay, sorry. So those two things in addition have been kind of discussed in the past week. Okay, we have 10 minutes or 8 minutes. Options moving forward. We had a bit of a discussion in the Web Payments Interest Group yesterday, and we've had some sidebar discussions with members in this group. The Web Payments Interest Group is currently trying to figure out how they take an official position on this at W3C. And right now, the official position seems to be this capability is missing from the web. We should do work in the space if it's not being done somewhere else, right? So we think that there may be a fast way for the IG to publish what we're calling like a finding. So the World Wide Web Consortium's Technical Advisory Group, the TAG, publishes these things called findings about the web platform. So features that are missing or best practices or anti-patterns, things that we have kind of discovered as a society when it comes to the web and its design. The Web Payments IG could do a similar thing and publish a note, you know, nothing's official, but it's at least the IG saying, this is what we think right now. And the proposal would be for the IG to publish a note so that the rest of the W3C membership could see that this is not just a small group of small organizations that want to see this happen, that it's actually an interest group that has 179 members. That's an official activity at W3C saying that we need to solve this problem. So that's one new potential strategy that we could use moving forward. One of the other pieces of feedback that we've had is you're not telling you, as in this group, is not telling W3C what we should do. So be more clear about that. Clearly, we do not want to do all the technical work right now. When you do too much technical work, the W3C membership doesn't like it. It's a very strange balancing act. So if you do too much before you go into a working group, people complain that you just want a rubber stamp on your technical specification. If you don't do enough work, they tell you, well, we don't know what you want us to do, so we don't support the work. So what we're doing is we're trying to find the right balance. And one of the ways we could find that balance is to put together a very drafty spec. So right now we have something called the Identity Credentials spec that has data format and protocol mixed together. We can split that spec out. So it just talks about data format and syntax, data model and syntax, which is one of the deliverables of this group. And we could say that is what the CG would like to see done, that's what the Verifiable Claims Task Force and the Credential CG thinks is the best path forward. And then we would also demonstrate how that solution fits in with OpenID Connect and SAML and some of the other protocols, attribute exchange protocols that exist today, to demonstrate that we're not presupposing any one of those solutions, right? So we are coming up with a solution that each one of those ecosystems could use. And if we were to do that, hopefully in the next, you know, maybe it would take a month or two to do that work, we would have a very clear ask of W3C, right? So we have identified a problem statement. We have buy-in on the problem statement. This is how we think the problem could be solved. That's the piece that we're missing right now. We don't have a clear message on this is how we think the problem could be solved. Those are the two kind of proposals. One of them isn't up to us. The Web Payments IG is going to make a decision on whether or not to get behind what we're saying here, at some point in the next couple of weeks. But as far as work that we could do in this group, clearly we need to revise the charter and the use cases and clean those up a bit based on feedback that we get. We need to collect feedback. But one of the other items that we could add to our work is to propose something, like have some rough drafts that we could propose that the working group start off with. Okay, so let me stop there. Those are the proposals, and there's really only one thing that this group would need to add. Let me stop there and see what folks think, or if you have any questions on questions or comments on those paths forward.
I was a little confused on where the lines between the proposals were. Were there three? Was that all together? I'm a little confused.
Sure. So right now we have, I think, three or four specs that are incubating in the credentials community group, which is also called the Open Credentials Work. That name's old, but Open Creds, or the credentials community group, has been incubating Web DHT, the identity, and the identity credentials spec primarily. So those two specs.
Specific to those two, although I think the Web DHT thing has to be solved. That's the one that the current spec is furthest away from. Something that I know that I would like to see. Whereas, as far as the spec for the data format, with purely the addition of some kind of static proof of existence, you can then publish, what Sudsy in the old days used to call self-certificates. Maybe they're not highly available, but with proof of publication, they're strong. So I would concentrate more on that side of things if you have to cut something out.
Yeah, exactly. So I don't think we're not proposing that Web DHT be put into a working group at this point. It's way too early. We know that we need it for the self-sovereign identifier stuff, but we're not ready to put that into a working group. We need to put a decent chunk of work into that, which we hope to do with you, Christopher, over the summer. So the current proposal is we basically take the identity credentials spec. We rip out the protocol bits and just have data model and format, and then we demonstrate how you can express the data model in, like, JSON and JSON-LD and, maybe YAML and XML, right? And then we basically say, that's it. That was, like, the first working group, that's all we're going to work on. We're going to kind of propose how it could go into OpenID Connect, but it's up to those communities to adopt it if they want to. And then at the same time, anyway, that would be what the proposal would be. It would be data format syntax, and then maybe a note writing up how this stuff could look in an OpenID Connect exchange or a SAML exchange, and that's it. Shayna, SAML. Well, expression in YAML, but yes, that's insane, but anyway, we can talk about that a bit later. Shane also brings up the point that we should, in parallel, be advocating in the AC, to the AC members. People should be chiming in. So if you want something to do this week, please respond to the AC forum thread if you're a W3C member, because right now nobody's defending the work. Okay. Christopher, did that answer your question?
Okay. Yes, it does. I know we're out of time, but is any membership of this group going to be at the Internet Identity Workshop at the end of the month? Because I'd be glad to do a face-to-face and maybe even bring some engineers and do some coding if people are interested. So.
So I think that's a no. Hey, Christopher, we should chat with you a bit so that you could maybe circulate some of these ideas at IIW. Like Identity Woman did ping us about coming to IIW, and my hope was that you and Drummond could talk a bit about the verifiable claims work that W3C is doing. So maybe we can chat about that offline before you go to IIW.
Thank you.
Okay. Awesome. That's it for the call today. We will get the questionnaires out at the end of today or tomorrow and get further input from those folks. And then we may start executing on some of these other options forward over the next week or two. Okay. That's it, everyone. We'll chat again next Tuesday. Thanks, everyone, for the call. Bye.